Hi, this is David Kay, and you're listening to Altered Geek. 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 Get altered, get geeky. It's a wild ride. Join the discussion. Let's dive into lore. From Star Trek to Transformers, we're ready to soar. Superheroes clash as we spark up the flame. Altered Geek Podcast, remember the name. Hello, and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips. In this week's episode, I'm joined by TFG1 Mike.
Hello, I'm here.
Yes, so in this week's adventure into geekdom, we have some interesting topics, some news, some conversation. So without further ado, thank you for tuning in. And if you like the show, do me a favor and share it with your friends on the socials. You can find it anywhere at Altered Geek, as well as on geekcastradio.com. So it's been a little bit since there's been an episode. So what's been new with you before we jump into it?
Okay. What's been new with me? Let's see. I've been losing my mind. My health is going down the drain, and I think I'm going to die.
So business as usual.
Yeah, pretty much. Same shit, different day.
Yep. No, so with no.
Funny guy. Funny
yeah, we're guy. Trying to end Podcaster Meets World this year.
Yes, we're going. No. There's no try. We're going to do it. That's no. There's no try, because if we end it next, I think if we end it next year, it'll be 10 years since we started that damn show. I think that's what it is, because I think we started it in 2016, because we had the top 100 TV shows in 2015, and it came in at number 50 out of the 100 TV shows that were listed, and we both scoffed at that, and we're like, what the hell are you talking about, 50 out of 100? Easily top 25. I mean, come on.
I mean, folks, some episodes do you deserve that, but...
Yeah, but... but yes, we are working on getting Podcaster Meets World going, and finishing that up. Episode zero was February 2nd, 2016. Oh, this is the funny thing about that podcast, folks. And sorry, Steve's going to go on his 3D printing love fest here in a little while. So I'm going to go on my podcast love fest here now. February 2nd, 2016. You know when the first episode aired?
No.
April 28th, 2018. Okay, took us 2 years. To actually get going. This is supposed to be a 15-20 episode mini podcast that should have taken us a year at best. It's taken us almost 10. Between episode 3 and episode 4, 2018 to 2021. I mean, you know, there was that whole thing in the middle there that happened after, you know, 2019, but you know, it is what it is. We love the show, we love doing the podcast or whatever, but just other things were more important when it came to podcasting. We had Transformer stuff, we had Altered Geek stuff, we had other stuff.
Well, I had a lot of job situation stuff between 2016 and like 2 years ago.
Yeah. At least now you're settled, hopefully.
Hopefully.
For the most part. Hopefully.
You never know.
You never know.
But yeah, I mean, so we're working on that, working on a very other shows. I'm waiting for side projects to die down. I have time to actually properly revive the Cyber Dragon Ball and M-Wire. I mean, I did put out a new Cyber Dragon Ball episode like a week or two ago by the time of this recording. But yeah, I would like to do it more consistently.
Yeah. Well, that's the key.
I'm kind of waiting.
Consistency is key. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I'm waiting until some other stuff kind of goes by the wayside. So yeah. So without further ado, we've got some movie stuff. We've got trailers. We've got a movie that I watched on Netflix recently. Something with the Avengers and a toy discussion. So since you brought up the trailers, why don't you kick it off with that first?
All right, trailers. This will be quick, easy, and painless, folks. I promise. Since you know, we don't really talk about sports around here on the Geekcast Radio Network all that often. I mean, we did have the Sports Gal Pal on here. We interviewed her a number of years ago now. I was born and bred in Boston, Massachusetts. Boston sports is in my blood. It always has been in my blood. So whenever anything Boston sports pops up anywhere, my ears perk up, my eyes bug out, and I'm like, what? Like, what? What's this? Currently, I believe it's supposed to be a 9-episode thing on Max. Just like how Netflix has The Last Dance, which is the Michael Jordan Chicago Bulls special thing that they did for that. Max has Celtic City going through the Celtics history. So I'm currently watching that. Coming up April 8th, Netflix is going to be doing The Clubhouse, a year with the Red Sox. So they're going to be doing that. So I put the trailer for Celtic City out there in the show notes, and I put the trailer out for Clubhouse there. Celtic City, as of this recording, just released episode 5. So I'll be probably watching that as soon as we're done recording here. And it's just one of those things where, like, the Celtics, when they started, I wasn't even born. So getting to watch that part of history and sports, getting to actually watch what Bill Russell and John Havlicek and everybody else did in Boston for the city, for the fans, for the sport of basketball in the NBA. I mean, the Celtics were the early dynasty in the NBA kind of thing. And the Red Sox are the Red Sox. So, you know, it is what it is. But I love seeing that stuff, and I love watching it. That's just what I'm enjoying watching right now when it comes to certain stuff. And I'm watching other stuff and other things, but mostly, like, I'm watching that. Like, I know, unless I wrangle in one of my cousins or something, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to get anybody to do a Celtic City podcast with me, you know, so that I'm watching actually to watch, to enjoy the thing. And I don't feel like I have, because it's a history thing for me, like I said, and it, you know, it just is. So it's not something I feel like I have to podcast about other than talking about it here now, where it's like, oh, this is cool. I can sit back, relax, enjoy this, and not have to do all the podcast prep stuff to then talk about what I watched kind of thing. And I'm not complaining about it. It's not a complaint at all. I'm just saying it's very rare that I get to do that these days, because most of the stuff that I watch so we can talk about it. And I just, we just recorded Podcaster Meets World episode 13. Didn't we mention Wedding Crashers in that episode? Yeah, we did, because Corey and Topanga were Wedding Crashers.
I think so.
Yes. Yeah. Because they crashed, because she's in the second half of season 6. They're preparing for their wedding, and they go to this fancy wedding where the bride's father is trying to bribe Corey $1 million. And I brought up the movie Wedding Crashers, and I just looked on Netflix. Guess what's on Netflix? Wedding Crashers. Guess what has a 20th anniversary this year? Wedding Crashers.
Wedding
Crashers. New episode of Studio 2009 coming later this year. Oh, God. So, yeah, Celtic City. is on now on Max. If you have Max, if you want to learn about the Boston Celtics and the history of that, like I said, there's that, and then the clubhouse for the Red Sox. I'm interested to see that the clubhouse thing, because a year with the Red Sox, I don't know where that's gonna. I don't know. I gotta look at that trailer again, because I'm not sure where exactly in the history that is, if that's current or if that's whatever. Because last year, for the 20th anniversary since the Red Sox did the big comeback in 2004, that last year they did Netflix did the special The Comeback, revisiting and talking about the history of the big comeback against the Yankees and the fact that the Red Sox won the 2004 World Series. So I'm not sure what exactly, I don't remember off the top of my head about the clubhouse, but I'm very excited for that. So yeah, trailers. Yay.
Yeah. And then, speaking of trailers, I thought it was kind of funny that, we finally got, YouTube cracking down on those garbage fake trailers and their monetizations.
Yeah,
I saw news on that earlier and I was like ecstatic. I was like, oh, finally.
There's only one fake trailer I've ever actively enjoyed, and that's the one with old Superman, old Batman. It's all this old combination of footage of movies that have already been out, kind of thing. It's an old you know which one I'm talking. If I send it to you later, you'll know within 2 seconds. Oh yeah, I remember this. I don't do fake trailers. I don't want, like, we don't get political on the Geekcast Radio Network, folks, but I'm gonna say this anyway. I don't care what kind of news it is. I don't care what industry of news it is. I don't want fake shit in my news. I don't want fake stuff in my trailers. I want the real stuff. I get it. People are excited. I get it. People want to make, like, there's a difference in a fake trailer and somebody wanting to do their own thing with, like a, not an homage, but I guess it's an homage. I don't know. Don't do it, folks. Don't try to make shit up that isn't already there, please. I mean, not with trailers. Don't try to, give me an example of a fake trailer you saw recently.
It's more so just like the AI stuff. Like they try and, like, I've seen some of the Avengers or Marvel related stuff on YouTube specifically, and you can, like, they splice different stuff together, or then you've got the AI stuff where they've kind of created it. I don't know. I can't tell one specifically, but I've seen a few of them when I'm actively trying to find a legit trailer.
Yeah.
And it's highly frustrating, especially when you're trying to see something legit. Like, it would be one thing if they just labeled it, you know, like fan trailer, right off the bat, instead of trying to actively. But I'm glad that they're demonetizing those, because it's not like they're commentary. It's not like they're adding something. No. They're just creating. I mean, yeah, they're fun if that you're into that, but I mean, I'm not.
like I said, that one, that's the Justice League. Cause the whole point of the old superhero one that I'm talking about is it's like, I don't think it was Chris. It might have been Christopher Reeve. I don't think it was, but it was like Christopher Reeve, Michael Keaton.
Yeah, it was.
And Wonder Woman, Linda Carter. It was all of them, but that was done like 14, 15 years ago from stuff that had already been out. What you're talking about is people trying to fit together things that either aren't released yet, or just making up their own stuff. And it's like,
yeah, I mean, I don't mind the ones that like they, somebody used AI to create from with Christopher Reeve, Michael Keaton and Linda Carter and John Wesley Shipp and, you know, all those guys like creating the Justice League from like the 90s or like, you know, earlier than that. Like, I was fine with that. Like, cause that was just, you can tell it's fake. And it was just, it was different. But like the ones that are trying to pass off as a modern movie coming out now, that's where I kind of am like, okay, that's not. but yeah, that's one of those things that I'm just not fond of in general.
Yeah, me either.
Now, I'm going to skip along because I'll touch on the action figure stuff later. Yes. Should we do the Marvel or the Electric State?
Let's do the Marvel because it kind of ties into the movie stuff. Electric State we can do in a minute, but the Marvel, I don't know about you, but if I see a certain thing one too many times in a short time span, I'm like, okay, I'm sick of this already.
Did you know I finally watched The Social Network?
Oh, did you really? What'd you think?
Actually, it wasn't too bad, but it jumped around too much in the beginning. But
yeah.
Mary and I have been jumping around watching based on a true story films.
Uh-huh.
So we watched the one about NASA and, you know, the origins of the computers and, you know, that they were actually people.
Oh, my God.
You know, outsmarting, you know, being able to do the calculations, and then they use the computer, you know, they got all trained on how to use the giant IBM computer that's the size of a room that barely has enough memory to compete with your mouse.
Yep.
And that was interesting. And then, you know, of course we watched The Social Network, and then I don't know what we're going to watch next, but I've got a list that we're going to probably go through and try and, you know, try and just kind of enjoy them and then get a little bit of history with them at the same time, which is something we've been trying to do more of.
Mm-hmm.
Less brain rot and more something with a substance.
Yeah, exactly.
Not that I don't occasionally enjoy the, you know, the other stuff, but I'm going back and watching older things because, one, I haven't watched some of them, and two, it just kind of feels like it's time to watch some of them.
Yep.
But yeah, with the whole Avengers Doomsday cast, that, I mean, you can clearly tell they're not done teasing in it.
Oh no, they're not.
And I did like how at the end of the teaser that they had, Robert Downey Jr. at the end kind of going shh.
Yep.
But yeah, I find it funny the first name is Hemsworth,
of course,
because I mean he's pretty much the only OG Avenger
outside of Robert, but Robert is going to be Doom this time.
I mean, you got Hawkeye that's still around and you got the Hulk,
yeah,
but the rest of them are dead.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with Hemsworth. Like I'm glad that he's kind of carrying the torch, and you know, he's like, I'm happy to come back for as many films as you'll have me, and as long as the role is different. And then we've got Anthony Mackie as Captain.
Yep.
Then we've got the you know, Vanessa Kirby as Susan Storm for the new Fantastic Four.
Yep.
Which I'm cautiously optimistic about just because they're kind of taking the 60s aesthetic to kind of differentiate.
Yep.
And then you get Ant-Man.
Yeah, I could Paul do Rudd. I wish somebody had step on him already.
I'm fine with him being there. And then we get
Florence Pugh.
Yep. The White Widow.
Yep.
Essentially. John Walker. And then we've got Namor.
Yep.
Which he hasn't been in a film yet, right?
Not to my knowledge, not in the MCU.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Wrong,
but I don't think so.
And then we got Shang-Chi, which is surprising because that movie bombed.
Yeah.
Then we've got the White Wolf, Bucky Barnes.
Yup. So he's an OG. I mean, he's not, you know.
I mean, he's not of the original Avenger film, is what I'm getting at. That's what I'm counting as an OG, like fact that he predates them.
Not the original six. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. But he's like immediate second tier.
Yep.
And then we get the new, you know, Shuri, the Black Panther. Which I thought that was kind of just wise, just having her play the role rather than trying to recast.
Absolutely.
It, you know, story progression, it just makes sense. Yo. Ben Grimm, the Thing. And then we get into some X-Men, which Kelsey Grammer is the Beast, which I loved the trailer where it was just kind of doing regular like Avengers music and then it went into like the X-Men theme, like rolled into it. It was like, you know, and I was like, oh, this is cool.
Yep.
And then we get Sentry, which I'm not sure who that is. I think they're from that new anti-hero Marvel film.
I could not tell you off the top of my head.
I can't remember what it's the new one that, you know, the White Wolf and all of them are in. I can't remember the name of it. And I mostly because I don't care and I'm not going to see it. And then we get the new Falcon.
Yep.
Joaquin Torres. And then we get the new Johnny Storm.
Yep.
And Red Guardian.
Yep.
Returning. And then we get M'Baku.
M'Baku.
Yeah, yep. M'Baku. I'm not sure who it was. He in the films?
Yeah, M'Baku is he's in the Black Panther films.
Okay.
Oh god. I want to say I he's in the Black Panther films. That's what
okay.
I
know. And then of course, then we have Ghost, who's again from the same film as Bucky. Thunderbolts. That's the movie.
Thunderbolts. That's what it is. Yeah.
Yes. That's all of the Thunderbolts are here.
Yes.
I'm wondering if they're going to be the catalyst to start this off.
I think they are, because I think somebody said something about something in the Avengers Doomsday teaser spoiled Thunderbolts or something. I don't know. People are just whatever. Anyway.
And then we get Loki returning. Yeah,
of course.
Which I wonder which variant or if this is going to be the one that was in the Loki TV show. Like almost Loki, like he's better. Connecting the threads to bring all of these people together.
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
But he's an OG. So I would throw him in there. And then we get the X-Men. We get Patrick Stewart as Professor X, which they've killed him three times. twice in the Fox universe and once in the MCU. We're going to go for four.
Uh-huh. Yep. Force is
Yeah. Some people have hinted that this film could be an X-Men versus the Avengers. I don't think it's going to be.
I
think it might start out that way.
Yeah.
But they'll quickly, you know, Doom will enter and they'll be like, we have a common enemy.
Yeah, see if they were really so Marvel Studios and the Marvel Cinematic Universe really wanted to do an AVX and Avengers versus X-Men based on the comics, they would market it as Avengers versus X-Men. They would not market it as Avengers Doomsday going into Avengers Secret. The whole point of Doomsday is leading into Secret Wars because Dr. Doom had a whole big to do with the Secret War. Secret War is the big next big Avengers thing. So I would love to see that. I think that would be super cool if they adapted the AVX comics into the live action Marvel Cinematic Universe. But I think you're right. I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to kind of be like World's Finest. I don't trust you. You don't trust me. Oh, crap. Lex and Joker teamed up. We have to work together.
Yeah.
It's going to be something like that.
And yeah, so I mean, I see that happening. And then we get Ian McKellen coming back as mm-hmm. Magneto.
Yep.
Which is the first time since like Days of Future Past.
Yep.
And then we get Alan Cumming coming back as Nightcrawler.
Yep.
Which is cool. And Rebecca Romijn coming back as Mystique.
And then Donut Lord.
Yes. James Marsden as Cyclops. It's funny because somebody posted, they're like, okay, there was a meme going around earlier. I don't remember what day it was. It was probably a couple days ago. So they showed Jason Marsden in a car driving with mm-hmm. the bunny, you know, having Hop. Yep. And then it was him in the car again, or the truck, with Sonic the Hedgehog sitting next to him. And yep. somebody was like, they're like, give this to me, Disney. And it's got Cyclops sitting in there with Rocket.
Yep.
In the image for Doomsday, like as a joke. And it's like, yeah. it kind of makes sense. Kinda like he's kind of typecast as the guy that's got the CG animal yeah. friend.
Yeah. And the funny thing is I remember I just saw a clip the other day. I think it was at the Sonic 3 premiere where somebody asked him, so Donut Lord in X-Men? He's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. It was those rumors had been going around, I think, ever since he first starred in the first Sonic movie, like whether he would return or not as Cyclops. And I'm glad he's returning because honestly, there's nobody else I can see in Hollywood that could play that role better than he does, even mm-hmm. though he only had the three or however many films he was in. I don't remember.
He was only in those three.
He wasn't in Days of Future Past, was he? No. He was already dead.
People kept saying he was, and I'm like, he was not there.
No, he was not there.
But yeah, I personally hope that for Magneto and Cyclops, they give them the proper comic attire.
Yeah.
Like they did Wolverine. And yeah. Gambit. I'm personally hoping that they do this. Because, I mean, Professor X already has the chair. They used it in Multiverse of Madness.
Yep.
So there's no reason why they won't do the rest of them. I think they've come to the realization that people want it.
Yeah.
And it will happen.
Well, and Jackman said recently over the, when Deadpool and Wolverine happened, he's like, somebody asked him, how does it feel being in that suit? He goes, oh, it feels fine. It feels great. I don't know what I was thinking 25 years ago.
He's like, I wish we would have done this 25 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I think it's cool that they're all reprising. They're all coming back. And then we get Gambit finally
mm-hmm.
coming back. And then we of course jump over to Pedro Pascal as Mr. Fantastic, and then we get Robert Downey Jr. And then it, you know, says now in production. Yep. And then people were like, "Well, where's Doctor Strange? Where's Hawkeye? Where's Hulk? Where's Spider-Man? Where's Wolverine and Deadpool and you know these others?" And I'm like, "So, part of me thinks that they're not done revealing."
Right.
Part of me wonders if they're going to pull a Mark Hamill in The Force Awakens where some of these show up at the end.
Yep.
Part of me also wonders if the Avengers and the X-Men, like the X-Men are drawn into this battle because the Avengers are failing so poorly against Doom, who is probably playing like he's Tony Stark.
Oh yeah.
And almost doing like Justice League Doom where, mm-hmm. you know, the whole initiative that Batman has to take down the rest of the leaguers, you know, I'm wondering yeah. if Doom is tearing them apart from the inside, and the X-Men are drawn in by Loki to fix things. And in doing so, like, they have to bring all these other, you know, Avengers that aren't there. But I also get the vibe that every time the Avengers are in a fight and Hawkeye is not there, they lose.
That's true. So
I'm thinking Doomsday is going to be them losing. And then the follow-up film is going to be them resetting the slate.
Yeah.
Like, full reboot with Fantastic Four continuing beyond.
Yeah, could be.
That's my thought. And I hope that Wolverine gets to kind of finally play with the X-Men in the costume, and, you know, Deadpool and Colossus and, you know, some of these other guys that have been there forever.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, obviously they can only afford so much.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm hoping that we end up with a really good film either way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just sucks I gotta wait a year.
Oh, it'll go by really fast.
Yes, I know.
But then again, 2025 has felt like, you know, we're at the end of the first 3 months. It's felt like 9 years, at least to me it has. But oh boy. And then so, other movie stuff.
Yeah, so I watched The Electric State on Netflix, which is done by the Russos.
Mm-hmm.
The Russo brothers did it. And I genuinely enjoyed this film for what it is. And it was it felt very original and fun. Like, just something I'd not seen before. Which Netflix seems to be doing really well at. You know, the Ryan Reynolds stuff. We've had that. And his variety of films.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And they've all been enjoyable.
Yeah.
And so this one, I sat down kind of half expecting to enjoy it, half thinking this is going to be stupid. Because it's a bunch of, you know, robots running around talking to humans in varying states. And then they explain that, you know, everybody's kind of plugged in and, you know, living virtually and not actually living. And I was like, okay, so it's got some Wall-E in there. It's got, you know, Gamer, you know, that film. Mm-hmm. And there was just a lot of things going on in it. And I loved how the robots felt like they were real, like they were authentically there.
Mm-hmm.
We had some, I don't know, there was a lot of throwbacks, just a lot of stuff that was fun that kind of felt like 80s and 90s to it.
Yeah.
So it kind of made me, you know, I was like, oh, I'm kind of at home here. And then Chris Pratt kind of reminded me of, he kind of reminded me of like a Han Solo type character.
Mm-hmm.
But for a modern era. So the voice acting was fun and kind of on spot. Stanley Tucci is like the bad guy. And then Giancarlo Esposito, I can't pronounce his name right, but he played Colonel Bradbury. He was in he plays bad guys a lot and everything.
Yep.
But yep, he's kind of a bounty hunter in this film. And I felt like he did really well with what he was given. And then we had, of course, like the main characters, the Millie Bobby Brown, who's from Stranger Things, and the Enola Holmes, have Chris Pratt, Guardians of the Galaxy and Jurassic World. And, you know, the list goes on and on. Jason Alexander was at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Woody Harrelson, he plays Mr. Peanut, which was great. I don't know, hearing some of these older legends playing some of the robots was just a lot of fun. Brian Cox playing Popfly, which is, he's a baseball bot that shoots baseballs, but he also like falls asleep a lot.
Jeez.
So I don't know. I found the movie to just be fun in general and just a lot going on. And then Herman, that's Chris Pratt's character's friend, is Anthony Mackie.
Yep.
So I'm like, you got the Marvel connection there.
There you go. Yep.
Yeah. So I mean, just overall, it was just it was a lot of fun to watch. Without giving too much away, especially because you haven't seen it, and then you know, I want people to genuinely just go watch it because again, it was fun in a different way than a lot of the crap that seems to be coming out or rehashes.
Yeah, I'll give it a watch. The funny thing is that when I read the basic plot of the film, I was like, huh. So just this line where it's like, with the help of Center CEO Ethan Skate, who developed Neurocaster technology that allowed humans to upload their minds into drone robots. That reminded me of a Amazon Prime TV series that debuted in 2020 that we were supposed to discuss on whatever show we were supposed to discuss it on. You remember Upload?
Yep. Is it very similar?
So Upload in 20, no, it's not exactly similar, but it doesn't have to do with robots. It has to do with death, unfortunately. In 2033, humans can upload themselves into virtual afterlife of their choosing. When computer programmer Nathan Brown dies prematurely, he is uploaded to the very expensive Lakeview, but then finds himself under the thumb of his possessive, still-living girlfriend, Ingrid. As Nathan adjusts to the pros and cons of digital heaven, he bonds with Nora, his living customer service rep. Nora struggles with the pressures of her job, her dying father, who does not want to be uploaded, and her growing feelings for Nathan, while slowly coming to the belief that Nathan was actually murdered. Upload is supposedly getting a fourth and final season at some point, according to this, as of 2024. It has not had its fourth and final season yet. It's got three seasons at this point. So, yeah, interesting. I don't know. I remember when this first hit Amazon. I know we're talking about Electric State, but I remember when this first hit Amazon Prime, and Karen and I had watched it, and we watched that first episode, and we were just like, oh my God, this is hilarious. Like, this is a show we should be podcasting about, even though it's about death and dying and afterlife and what, just the hilarity. And the dude uploads himself to the digital afterlife, and the first thing he wants to do is pee all over the wall because he can, because he's dead and it doesn't matter. So anyway, Electric State. Yes, I will watch Electric State and I will report back next week because it does look really fun. Like you're saying, I saw the trailer earlier. So very cool. Very cool. I'm kind of over Pratt at this point.
I am too, but he does really well in this. I mean, it's him. So, I mean, yeah. You know what you're getting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun, and I wasn't expecting it.
Cool. That's good. That's awesome. Looking forward to it.
So with that aside, getting into Toy Talk.
Yes, Toy Talk.
So in a previous episode, I brought up the Star Trek nacelle figures. And brought up how Wave One, you know, they start out with some obscure characters. I mean, for the most part, they're not all obscure. Like you get Captain Jellico, Ronnie Cox, which is tempting enough just to have a figure of the dude. I mean, these are coming out in October for one, and they're 29 bucks or whatever, which is not bad for what these are. Considering how highly detailed and how articulated, like they got the ankle, the double jointed knees, the twisting, you know, at the waist, the twisting at the legs, the, you know, ball joint arms and, you know, or arm and leg sockets. And then you get the twisting arms, and then you get the, you know, you can swap out hands. And they come with like usually some of their key items, like Jellicoe, you get like a phaser, a pad, a book, and like some paintings from Picard's thing, and then the fish tank. Like, so they all come with something, you know, for a display piece. And then you get, you know, like Captain Garrett from the Enterprise C, you get, you know, a bunch of other random characters, Captain Sulu from the Excelsior. And then, and they only had 8 figures, and like the other ones, I mean, the only two that were somewhat enticing for me for this wave were mm-hmm. the Captain Jellicoe and the Captain Sulu. Like the rest, I was kind of like, meh. but then I was like, you know what they need? They need Kirk from Generations. Like they need,
yeah,
you know, they need that for wave 2. And then lo and behold, I get up like this morning and I'm checking online and I'm like,
look, holy crap.
Well, so I looked, like it was literally the day after mm-hmm. we published the episode that popped up for that one. But then like today they unveiled the whole line of wave 2 and I was going, what? These are awesome. You know? And I mean, I'm not going to buy most of them, but the main one that's of interest to me is the Captain Kirk from Star Trek Generations, and it's because he's wearing the vest. Like that was one, it held a special place for me in my childhood, for one, because the first Trek film I saw in theater was Generations.
Yeah.
And then I saw the, you know, his outfit, and I always liked the design of the vested Kirk outfit because I'd never seen this one before. Like he wore one similar in Star Trek 2, but then it wasn't, like this was new. And so I just liked the aesthetic. I liked the color. I like, you know, just the whole thing. So, so anyways, the likenesses of these nacelle figures are spectacular. They look just like the actors. They look just like they did in the film for the most part. I mean, it's like the equivalent of a masterpiece figure for a, you know, a poor person pricing.
Right.
Yeah. They, you know, he can clasp his hands behind his back. He comes with, because in the movie he's cooking in his house. And so he's got this jar of dill weed. So like they, of course, give him that and the 2 eggs that he cracks. And then he's got some firewood and the stump and then the axe that he's chopping and then the horse. So he can ride a horse. And all of these come with the Kirk figure.
Nice.
And I was like, okay, this is kind of cool. Like I'm genuinely excited for this figure. Like this one for sure will be on my go-to list. Like I'm going to get it. And then of course they reveal the rest of the line and they added 2 more figures to this line to kind of flesh it out a little bit. And they kind of made sure they took something from every generation. Yeah. They took, you know, Kirk from, Generations. They took Captain Janeway from the episode Year of Hell. Mm-hmm. They took Worf from Generations in the sailor uniform. They took T'Pol from Star Trek Enterprise season 3 and 4. They took Geordi with the sailor uniform from Generations. So we get 3 from Generations here.
Mm-hmm.
We get another from Star Trek The Undiscovered Country with Valeris,
mm-hmm.
The betrayer.
Yes, the betrayer.
And then you get the Romulan commander from the original episode, Balance of Terror, which was Mark Leonard, who later played Spock's dad. Carol Marcus from Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. We get Nog from Deep Space 9. And then we get the character called Bem from the animated series, which I'm not familiar with. But no, I was just like, okay, this is kind of cool. We got some Next Generation stuff. We got some TOS. We got some, you know, Star Trek movies. We've got specific episode versions of characters from Enterprise, Voyager, and Deep Space 9. and the animated series. And so I'm genuinely excited to see how well these prototypes show up. And while I'll probably only get the Kirk from this line, I'm excited to see what Nacelle does, because for the first time in ages, I'm excited about a Star Trek toy.
Very cool.
That isn't Playmates toys. Like the recent resurgence of Playmates toys into Star Trek, like 5 years ago, the figures, comparing them to the original figures that came out in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s, the ones that they came out with recently, yes, they have more articulation. Yes, they can physically sit in a chair without their legs going bow-legged out.
Yeah.
Like they're trying to spread eagle. Like it's like they can actually sit in the chair because they have the articulation of modern toys, but they looked like crap. And they were shorter than the originals. And just felt cheaper. And I don't know. I'm glad for another company to take on what Playmates started with and kind of accelerated. And it's honestly actually, in my opinion, better than the Art Asylum stuff that came out years ago.
I don't even remember that stuff.
Yeah, I remember it, but it was like too much out of my price range at the time. I mean, now I'm looking back and I'm like, oh, they were $30. Like, it's like, but I mean, at that time, I couldn't afford that for, you know, a figure. And I was like, eh, I don't wanna. And now I'm like, eh, that's kind of par for the course. But we've also got Master Replicas, which has, and this is the weird thing, Nacelle has the rights to Star Trek of old, like anything predating the reboot of the J.J. Abrams from 2009, like everything from 2009 onward is by a different company, and everything 2005 to the 60s is Nacelle. Like anything from the 60s to 2005, Nacelle can make, but they can't make anything from any of the modern Trek series.
Interesting.
Which is weird. Like, and they're only allowed to make in America.
Weird.
So I'll probably pre-order the Kirk when he's available for pre-order on their website, because Walmart sells Nacelle figures. They sell the Nacelle company figures of like Biker Mice from Mars. I don't know if I would ever see the Kirk in store. And so, and BBTS doesn't carry this stuff. No. These are like exclusive through these companies. Otherwise I would just pre-order through them. But I'm genuinely excited for what Nacelle is doing. Master Replicas, on the other hand, which took the line of the Eagle Moss Star Trek ships, and they've kind of bought up other companies that have gone bankrupt or whatever, and taking the brands, like they have some Star Wars, some Star Trek, some Orville, Doctor Who, Battlestar, like they take a lot of sci-fi properties. They got the rights to all the modern Star Trek. And so they have like Picard season 3 of Worf, Riker, and Picard. And looking at them, like they do look pretty close to the Nacelle company figures. However, they've almost got like an unrealistic look to them that the Nacelle company seems to have captured the exact likeness. And Nacelle company's figures are also like 6-inch figures. Master Replicas are like 4.5. So gotcha, they'll fit more with the Playmates line, but they're fully articulated, so they, again, it's kind of it's weird. I'm interested in some of those, however, like I don't know if I'll actually pull the trigger on any of the new stuff, like from Picard season 3, just because it's another website that I would have to get crap from. If BBTS had them all, I would be happy, but they don't. So, but yeah, I mean, it's a really weird place in the toy market, especially when companies that used to make toys don't make toys, and companies that own licenses to certain brands license them out to other brands, and then it's a strange environment we're in.
Very, very strange. And honestly, I'm kind of like, I think toy companies have become like streaming. There's too much choice to get your toys from everywhere and anywhere. There's too much choice in streaming to watch your stuff wherever you want to watch it, whether you purchase it on Fandango, whether you stream it on Netflix, Hulu, wherever, Max, wherever. Toy companies, same thing. It's like Hasbro has this, but they're then licensing this out to Playmates, or Mattel has this, or Funko has this, or the guy that created Funko has left Funko and created this company now, or the guy that was running Funko for the longest time has now left Funko and he's got his own company now. And it just all feels way too splintered. And I don't know. Remember, folks, because we're recording this on March 31st, 2025, tomorrow, April 1st, everything is a trap.
It's a trap.
It's a trap.
So the other thing that's kind of funny too is like Playmates got the license for Power Rangers from Hasbro.
Yep.
And these figures look like crap. I looked at these and I'm like, why would, like, I mean, Hasbro redid the Automorphin Rangers. You know, like what Bandai made back in the day. And then we got of Hasbro more recently. And then these ones, they just look weird, like weirdly proportioned, tiny head. Like, I mean, they don't even look, there's something that just looks odd to the face. And they're called Power Rangers Reignition. And it's like they're rehashing season one and two Power Rangers all over again. And it's like, okay, we've had this beaten to death.
Yeah.
And it's not like they're reviving the old Rangers. It's like, no, they're rebooting. Like, why make these again when Hasbro just made them?
Yeah, really.
Now the benefit here is, like, I mean, they don't have the armor coming off on the Green Ranger or whatever, but they're also coming out with the Zords again. So like, you, if you missed out on the original Dino Zords and, you know, building them that Hasbro came out with, you know, the crappier version, or even like kind of, I almost equate them to kind of in the middle. They, because they can shoot out of the Sabertooth Tiger and the Triceratops, out of their tail. Like, they have a colored blast that comes out. I think they sell them individually. I don't know that for certain, but I know that they sell the Power Morpher. They're going to, with the Power Coins, all five Power Coins and 40 sounds and phrases. And they're selling the Power Morpher for $16.99, which I've never seen it that low.
That's not bad.
No, that's not bad at all. And I'm like, I'm like,
you're thinking about it.
Well, like, that was one of those like bucket list things when I was a kid. And even when I was a young adult, I was like, man, I'd love to get my hands on a Power Morpher. And then like a legit one, like my 3D printed one is nice. Don't get me wrong, but I don't like, I don't know. It'd just be cool to have like the display item.
Yeah. Well, it's not just the display item. It's, you know what it is? I don't know if this will actually come across in the microphone, because sometimes it won't pick it up, but it's the lights and sounds, man. I bet that didn't pick anything up.
It did not. But
of course it didn't.
But no, I mean, it's the lights and sounds. It's the fact that it'll look pretty close. I mean, I still have the original Playmates like communicator from Star Trek. Like mm-hmm. the one I bought back in 94. mm-hmm. As well as like a couple of other Star Trek figures I actually owned back in the day. And then of course I've supplemented since then. But no, I mean, I'm super excited about that. They're going to come out with the Blade Blaster for $20, which will again have sounds and lights and all that. It's in some regards, like it's nice to see other companies take it on because somehow these other companies are making it work.
Yep.
Like they're making the prices down to where people can actually get some of these things that for whatever reason, Hasbro couldn't get cheap. And I don't know if it's like a Playmates toys thing. Like I really don't know. Like, and it could be where it's manufactured. Like I really don't know. But, I'm kind of excited to, you know, finally get my hands on that. Get my hands on the Kirk figure. I find it odd that again, like companies, other companies are taking on like these new companies or like even Playmates being as old as they are. Taking on these licenses of these companies that have been around forever. And they're just kind of tossing them around to different ones and doing in some areas, a better job than the company that owned the license previously or produced the toys previously. You know, in the case of the Power Rangers, like, yeah, the figures were better with the Lightning collection, but you know, as far as their accessories, they were unaffordable. Or you couldn't get your hands on them with Hasbro, but Playmates, it'll be far more likely that I'll see in the store. And then with the Nacelle company, again, like these are like awesome figures. Like I think they'll scale well with the First Contact Playmates figures that came out way back when. But yeah, I mean, I'm super stoked for some aspects of the toy industry and then I'm and others I'm not. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. The other big thing that I've been keeping my eye on is in our back end of the website under our podcast tab for published podcast episodes. So far, folks, in almost 16 years, 3,979, we are 21 away from 4,000 published podcast episodes.
Bet you never thought we'd get that far.
Uh-huh. Yep. Who knows? You never know. I just hope when it gets to $399.99,
that they don't offer us a discount.
Well, I was gonna say, I hope it doesn't start counting backwards. Like, wait a minute, you can't erase this. Don't do that. Hey now. but yeah, I started looking at this about the end of last year. When it was somewhere around 3,800, and I was like, holy crap. Oh boy. But yeah, no, that's, yeah. Oh yeah, I forgot to I'll bring the other thing up next week, but I forgot to bring this up. I now have a 3D printed Decepticon Matrix of Leadership. Thanks to Mr. Megatron over there. I just don't know, out of all the whatever toys I do have around here that are not Funko Pops, who can actually hold this damn thing. I don't think any of them can.
Well, one shall stand, one shall fall.
Yes. One shall fall all over the Matrix.
Fall over.
You know what Ford stands for, don't you, folks? Frapped on a raw deal. Flip over, read details. Fix or repair daily. How about Ford backwards? Drivers return on foot.
That's funny.
Not my jokes, folks. Al April's Autonyms. old comedian.
That's funny.
Based out of Florida. I saw him in Louisville, Kentucky at the Comedy Caravan years ago. I love that guy's stuff.
But yeah, so hope you guys enjoyed this episode and the discussion that we had on here. Thank you as always for listening to Altered Geek. I've been your host, Steve Megatron, with TFG and Mike. Be sure to check out
one more thing really quick. I'm sorry to interrupt before I forget, before my brain farts on it. Again, folks, March 31st, we're recording this. Happy birthday, Brad Mull. Enjoy your birthday, even though it's late when you hear this, buddy. He's a huge listener of ours. I was going to say it at the beginning of the podcast, and I forgot. My brain
bad
sucks.
Bad mic.
Yeah. Bad mic. I'm the worst podcaster. Yes, I told you I'm the worst podcaster. Yes, Brad Mull, longtime listener. Thank you so much for listening all these years, buddy. Happy birthday. Hope you had a great birthday. Okay, now you can go through your outro. Sorry.
Yes. We hope you have a good birthday, sir. So... yeah, so anyways, be sure to check out this episode on the episode link on geekcastradio.com. And until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
From classic icons to new sci-fi dreams, with every episode we'll unravel the themes. Let's geek out and laugh, keep the spirits high. Together we'll journey, reaching for the sky. Discussion, let's dive into lore. From Star Trek to Transformers, we're ready to soar. Superheroes clash as we spark up the flame. Alter Geek Podcast, remember the name.